WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Tough studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning, a feel-good summer Friday. The first one in August. It has been brutally hot, but we don't complain about that because all we do is complain about the terrible winters around here. So yes, 95 degrees, 100% humidity, whatever it is. We will take it on this feel-good summer Friday, and you got the first look last night in the Hall of Fame game with the new kickoff rule. And I didn't think about this at all after I heard about it. I was like, I'll just wait to see what it looks like. I'm telling you, football fans, buckle up, because it is over. All the people that have called up here for many years saying, oh, put a skirt on the quarterback. Oh, turn it into flag football. Oh, I don't know why it's not two-hand touch. And I said, hey, man, listen, don't worry about it. It is a violent game. They're never going to take it out of the game. It's such an intense game. Well, last night it felt differently. This is such an extreme rule change for the sake of player safety. I am scared of what the game is going to look like in 10 years. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Good morning, G. I don't know why you're scared. I mean,
what do you mean? Why? You want me to explain?
Well, you know what?
This is the most extreme rule change I have ever seen in pro sports in my lifetime.
In your lifetime.
In my lifetime.
All right, good morning. I've actually saw this. What was it? In the XFL and everything else like that. But what this is going to do is going to create more offense. Going to create more plays. It's going to create more excitement. It's going to create opportunities, for the offensive team to score a lot more points. That's what I think this is going to do. That's my sense in watching this. And last night you saw second and third teamers doing it. It will be interesting when we get into the regular season and you have these special teams coaches putting certain players out there and creating different plays. I can't wait to see who's going to be the most creative with the new lineup and everything. But I will say, it no longer is the kickoff just a dead play anymore.
And I never felt like it was totally dead to begin with. I still felt like a lot of guys were returning the ball. And I don't know. I didn't feel like it needed this change. Now, they did a lot of research on the kickoff and kickoff returns, and there were a lot of injuries that happened more so than any other type of play that would happen either special teams or during the regular game. So I understand the player safety and concussions and all of these things are important to the NFL, as they should be. But we also see in other sports guys beating the hell out of each other. Boxers, UFC, all of this stuff that happens where we're just bloodying each other, and then nobody's talking about concussions. But somehow in the NFL, we got to do this crazy rule change to make sure that everybody's okay.
If we
start here, what are you going to do? Like, guy goes over the middle, and then you put two hands on him, and then all of a sudden the whistle blows? Is that what we're going to see next? I mean, honestly, I was shocked when I was watching this. And it's one thing to see it in the XFL, because it's the friggin' XFL. This is the NFL. I saw a graphic that said landing zone last night during an NFL game.
Yes. That's where the ball...
Landing zone?
Yes, that's where the ball has to land.
Excuse me?
And this is why kickers are possibly going to be getting more involved, and why Justin Tucker from the Baltimore Ravens said, you know, he's been working out in the weight room because he may have to make some tackles.
Jesus Christ.
But it's basically to create more offense, to create more excitement, more opportunity.
Player safety is what they do.
It's player safety, but I think there's going to be unintended consequences, or maybe they are intended. I'm not sure, but it's going to take a while for everybody to get used to this. Not everybody's going to like it like you. I mean, you are an old school football fan. I'm an old school football player.
I never thought I'd be, but here's the thing that scared me last night is I turned into the old barbarian football fan that I was
trying to calm down for so many years. How many phone calls over the years have we gotten when you see like quarterbacks and roughing the passer and you see these flags and they're like, I don't understand why. Just have a quarterback play without a helmet. Just put two flags around his waist because you can't hit a quarterback. You can't touch a quarterback. You can't hit someone up high. You can't hit someone down low. And I'm like, dude, this is what I used to say. I was like, stand on the sideline for either a college football game or an NFL game and tell me it's not the most physical thing you've ever seen with your two eyes. Now, this is an entry point into I don't know what's next.
It's still, but you know, you still
what's
have
next.
You still have 10-on-10 collisions, though. You are having collisions. They're just a little bit closer to each other, and they're forcing the collisions because of the landing zone.
The landing
zone. So they will. Look, I don't remember, and just for 1 year, we don't necessarily know that this is going to be after this year. So we will see. It's going to take. Yes, it is extreme. It's extreme to your eyes. It's extreme to everything that you think that football should be. But then again, all the rules have been such that a lot of those big hits that you see from the 70s and 80s and 90s when I played, you know, all those highlight films.
Sure.
We used to have the quarter pounder graphic and videotapes opening NFL Today that showed all the big hits of the week before.
I understand.
They don't even do that anymore.
No,
so,
I know.
By the way, you know, you talk about, back when you were... Hey, they got a man in the goddamn Olympics fighting women, busting up her noses.
I don't know what's going on. I mean, this was insane. We'll get to that later because there's a lot to talk about.
We talked about it yesterday, yeah. But I'm just saying that, you know, not in every sport are they really worried about participant safety.
Well, that's my point. It's like the NFL goes so above and beyond with this. And I understand there's unions and the NFL is the NFL and more people care about that than women's boxing in the Olympics. I understand.
How many people care about women's boxing all of a sudden in the Olympics.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, I because it's a political issue. The actual sport,
it's actually a real issue. Forget politics.
All right, we'll talk about it later, for God's sakes.
Okay.
Jesus.
All right.
Stay on track for once.
I got you.
Next thing you know, we're going to be down another road, and we're going to be killing people, and then we're going to be talking about Putin. Let's just focus on the NFL for 1 second. It's a feel-good Friday. All right. So,
I mean, man, you want to go to Italy, man. That's all I can tell you.
What's that?
You can't wait to get to Italy, I can
tell.
Well,
especially now.
Yes.
All right. So, here's the difference between all these things that you're talking about and the changes and what they've done and what it used to look like in the 80s. I could always put on an NFL football game, and I'd be like, that's an NFL football game. If I turned that on last night and saw that first kickoff and I didn't know the rule change, I'd be like, what is this? What's this, the Arena League? Oh, they're playing an Arena League game outside?
Yep.
What's going on here? Is this the Pro Bowl? Are they replaying the Pro Bowl or something? I thought the Pro Bowl went away. This was the first time in my lifetime.
In your lifetime?
Lifetime.
Yes.
That I put on an NFL football game and it didn't look like an NFL football game. And that's what alarmed me. And maybe I'll get used to this, but is this, dare I say, the tip of the iceberg.
No. You know, again, it's a year right now. They're going to keep it for a year, and then they'll analyze it at the end of the season, and they'll look at it. And if they feel like as the season goes on, it becomes more of a significant play, and they're getting a lot of plays out. I personally think it's a great thing for the offense. That's what I think. And I think it also creates another play potential for anybody who can be creative in this situation.
Yeah, and this is why you see some teams signing some rugby players and stuff like that, which, okay, I mean, that's one side of it. Maybe it turns out to be fun and different, and maybe I'll like it by the end of the season. But when you see, like, is this a fair statement that of all, this even more so than putting a runner on second base in extra innings? Seems like the largest, most radical rule change in any sport that I watch.
That's what it's like. So you got the Manfred man or the ghost runner, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a significant change. That was to protect pitchers, and that was to get games over quickly. There were a lot of reasons why they did that. And, you know, we've all become accustomed to it now during the regular season.
Right. During the regular season, 162 games. It only happens in extra innings. This is every time a game starts. Every time a half starts, and every time after a team scores. That's a lot, man. It's a huge change.
I'm trying to think about how many of those plays do you think that there will be? Probably somewhere between 10 and 12 when you consider the kickoff of the game, the kickoff at halftime, and then all the scoring that goes on. And yeah. I do believe that there's going to be an uptick in scoring after watching this. Now, last night was second and thirds, so I don't really know what to expect. There wasn't a lot of, it was pretty vanilla. Both teams played a pretty vanilla, and I can't wait to see what happens when we get into the regular season and how the real guys go about trying to come up with some creative way to make plays out of this. You know somebody's going to have something.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, I'm still confused after reading through all of it. Like, what happens if the kicker does kick it out of the landing zone? Like, what's the penalty for that? Where does the ball come out
to? Where they'll put the ball, I think it's on the 30, is it 30 or 35? Yeah.
I mean, it has to be something that's punitive because then there's no play. You just kick it right through the end zone every time.
Actually, maybe the 40. I have to.
If it's a 40, then that's punitive because that's essentially like kicking the ball out of bounds in the old rules.
Exactly. So my sense is right now is that, okay, it's one game. You'll get used to it, just like you got used to the Manfred man on second base.
Yeah.
And we'll get used to it, and there'll be plays, and there'll be exciting plays, and there'll be some runbacks. I mean, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, guys can't move until the receiver catches the ball.
Yeah.
The returner catches the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And once they move, now all of a sudden, I personally think that the runner has an easier job of trying to find a hole to get through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. We'd have to talk to some of those guys.
Let's say the ball comes down to the right receiver.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing on the right side of the formation, the left side of the defense. And you're telling your right side to block out, and you're telling your left side to block out. I mean, and then it's you and the kicker. If the guys can hold their blocks. I mean, I think that there's a potential for a number of returns here. I do. Especially with the athletes we're talking about now. We're not talking about XFL, USFL athletes. We're talking about the best of the best.
I mean, I never thought I'd see a day as an NFL football fan where in the same night I saw the graphic landing zone during a kickoff and then the game got canceled because of weather. What are we doing? What happened?
Well, what happened? You can't have the fans there with
What happened to the NFL? I don't know, man. I'm telling you, in my lifetime.
In your lifetime,
I think by the time.
How about my lifetime?
Well, I don't think it'll be that extreme in your lifetime. But I'm thinking when I'm like, hopefully, when I'm 80 years old and I'm still, maybe I'm not watching football because I'm so disgusted. We're gonna see guys in straight up bubble wrap. That's what we're going to see. They're going to be like wearing full body condoms out there. To play football.
So do they have 2-a-days anymore?
No.
How many days in a row, I think, can they practice? 3? And then they have to have an off day?
I'm not positive, but yes, I understand.
Like some crazy thing like that, right? And they have walkthroughs now.
Yeah,
they don't practice with pads during the season. Everybody's got to be careful. Nobody plays in the preseason.
It's been creeping.
Yeah,
and last night it went over a cliff. Yeah. Went over a cliff.
And guys are getting paid $60 million to play.
It went over a cliff, man. My jaw dropped. And I understand that, like, I'll admit, I wasn't paying attention. When you sit there and talk about rule changes, it's just boring. So I'm like, when I see it, I'll deal with it. And then I'm watching, like, it's the XFL one. Okay, it's the XFL. But the XFL is the XFL. It's not the NFL. So last night was the first time I really thought about it and really watched it, and it was shocking. And there's still going to be a lot of people, by the way, that, you know, didn't watch last night, aren't going to watch during the preseason, and then week one are going to be completely floored by this. So it's just and I'm all for guys being healthy for the rest of their lives. But you also, you sign up to play this game, and you get rewarded for it handsomely, you know, if you end up being a good player. So yeah. I don't want to sit here and sound like I want to see guys have concussions or have issues when they're older. But I just, there's reasons why we love football and physicality, and those things are important to us in watching the game.
Here's the thing I do know. If it doesn't land within the landing zone, like if it's short of the landing zone.
Yeah.
It's like a kick out of bounds and the ball goes to the 40.
Goes to the 40, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's just I think it's going to create more offense. And we may have more kickers injured because they may have to get involved in tackling. More so but, than they were before.
Okay. But how many of those guys actually get involved in tackling?
Justin Tucker gets involved.
Okay. One out of 32?
I mean, Jim Breesch didn't like to get involved. Remember, he was smaller.
Yeah, but that was 100 years ago.
Easy with 100 years ago, cuz.
I mean, you know. These kickers, they pretend to get involved. They dive when they know they can't involved. Get to the guy.
Punters
they don't
get involved. Some of those guys actually lift weights.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few of them.
What about Weatherford?
Yeah, he's not, but he's a punter and he's not playing anymore.
But he's still a kicker and he's still got to go make tackles.
Most of these guys do not get involved. You know it. Stop. He's sitting there defending kickers and punters and you like the new kicker. What happened to you?
Yeah, the other thing too, any kick that does land in the zone, they have to return it. There's no fair catching, none of that crap. You have to return the ball. That's what they're trying to get to.
Okay.
They want because they were losing the play.
Yeah.
There was really very few kickoff returns.
Right. And then there's also like a hoop that you could jump through and you get half a point.
So in other words, what you would like is for Team A, the kicking team, to move back to their own 25-yard line and let the kicker kick off from there and do the kickoff the way they always did.
Yes.
That's what you want.
That's what I would
love.
That's
what you want. You want guys running full speed trying to knock the crap out of each other. You know why? Because that's what football is.
Goddamn right.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something.
Okay.
I was a terrible football player, but I played in high school for a prestigious Long Island high school football program, and I was always on the scout team because I sucked, right? And I used to have
you
to put
didn't
on
suck. Don't say that.
No, I did. Mean, I'm telling you, I was not a good player.
You were a scout team player. You had a purpose.
I wasn't good enough to start a lot of games. Let's put it that way.
You're like a blocking dummy.
Right. So this is why I bring this up. We'd have these beanies that you'd put on your head as the scout team, the yellow beanie.
Yellow or a white beanie. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we would have to practice. We'd be the scout either kickoff team or kick return team. And I would go out there, even though I wasn't going to be in the game, and I would get my ass kicked by the starters. And I'd have to run down there and boom, I'd get killed. Or if I was the kickoff return team, I'd sit there, you know, you'd get another
wedge,
guy to
wedge block.
Bam, you get your head, your face kicked in.
Right.
And I still to this day can feel my ears ringing. From those days. And then here I am, 42 years old. I put on a football game last night, professional football, and I see landing zone. And that 17-year-old me said, what happened? What happened to the game I love?
When do you think the landing zone is going to become sponsored?
Landing zone
brought to you by Delta.
Yeah,
Delta
right.
Delta Airlines.
100%. There it is.
Got to be, right?
Somebody's on it right now as we speak.
And maybe I just gave them the idea.
Yeah, maybe.
You never know.
Well, Tony Toronto's on the phone right now. He's all over it, man.
He is all over it.
He
is on it like you know what. Listen, when I got to Maryland, I was the 10th string quarterback. They had 10 quarterbacks, and I was 10th string my first year. And I had to do exactly what you did at Bellport. Yeah. I had to do it at Maryland.
Yeah.
And I had to do it for 2 years. Mm. Not 1 year, 2 years.
Two of them, wow.
And they were kicking the living crap out of me.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And they were trying to get you to quit. They wanted to see whether
you
could do
test,
it or not.
Test your mettle.
That first week that I was there, I won Zingo of the Week.
Zingo of the Week?
And I got the dress for the opening game at Bird Stadium.
Nice.
I couldn't play. I could just dress with the guys and feel like I was part of the team. And then from week one, winning Zingo of the Week until 40 weeks or 50 weeks or however many weeks later it was, I didn't ever suit up for another home game until 1981. So in 79 of September of 79, I dressed as Zingo of the Week. And then I did not dress again for a home game until the 81 season. So 2 years.
Yeah, for busting your ass and doing that and being the scout team kick return, scout team kickoff team and just getting your ass kicked.
And you want to know something? I took it seriously.
Damn right.
I was pissed.
You should.
That's what I'm saying. So I understand your pain when you talk about getting run over.
Yeah.
With your little beanie cap on.
That's right.
I was one of those guys.
They're never going to know now what that was like. They're never going to know. We're just going to make, you know, football players that just don't know the grind and the hitting and the, you know, spitting at your mouthpiece and the dirt in your face because there's a landing zone now.
Well, you know, the NFL now is loaded with doctors, which they should be. There's a lot of concussion experts. Mm-hmm. A lot of neurologists are involved.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know they study woodpeckers.
Yes, they did study woodpeckers. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if any of those guys actually played football or not, but they're trying to make it as safe as they possibly can. And many people think that those practice helmet pads that they're wearing may end up finding themselves in or on the field. How are you going to feel about that?
This is what I'm saying. This is my entire...
How are you going to feel about that?
Thank you. My entire point has just come to roost. That's what I'm saying. Tip of the iceberg.
You know, the amazing thing is that, like, my dear friend, Bill Cowher, you know him, right?
Of course.
When he played...
He was crying last night watching it.
Probably. But yeah. when he played, he actually used to wear pads on every part of his body. He had, like, the neck roll.
Well, because he knew he was sacrificing himself,
remember
man.
Remember the old hand pads?
Oh, sure.
You remember the arm pads?
Yeah.
And you remember that they used to come over the elbow?
Mm-hmm.
He looked like RoboCop out there. He had so many things on.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you know, guys don't wear really a lot of pads.
Some of them don't even wear thigh and knee pads.
Or shoulder pads.
Well, you have very small shoulder pads. You have to wear shoulder pads, but you can't.
Yeah,
they're very small. Like Michael Bennett used them.
Michael Bennett didn't wear anything.
Yeah, well.
I think he put gauze pads on his shoulders.
Maybe.
It's crazy.
It is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Sports Network. Jerry Recco is here. He's repping the Riptide, who no longer exists.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, they moved to Ottawa or something?
Ottawa.
Yeah, they moved to Ottawa. Oh, so no. Just sad day for Long Island when the Riptide left, you know, sort of like when the Baltimore Colts left in the middle of the night. An art motel.
Just like it.
Yeah, really. It's just there's people who still haven't gotten over it. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. And by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Since you liked it so much, why not play it? Buck Aikman, ESPN.
Let's just watch this first one and see what happens.
Yeah, let's enjoy this one. We're hoping for a lot of these by the time the night's over. But you never know in these preseason games.
This one will be returned by Sims. And he's out to the 26, and that is it.
That was exciting.
Yeah.
It was your opening kickoff of last night's Hall of Fame game.
Do you feel the same way that Gio does? I'm not sure if you heard his opening.
I heard
it's just not a good thing.
It's tip of the iceberg what this game's going to turn into in 5 or 10 years. I mean, I've never seen a rule change as extreme as this have to do with player safety, so I wonder what's next. I mean, you're putting those giant protective helmet covers that you see in practice during the game? Are the quarterbacks going to be allowed to be hit if a guy goes over the middle and a wide receiver, you two-hand touch him? I never thought any of that stuff was in play until I saw something that extreme last night.
To me, at the 30-yard line then. Yeah. And just get rid of the kickoff, and you just have kickers that take extra points and field goals.
No,
and
the idea is to have another play. Is to try to create another play.
Yeah, that's
I know there's safety also attached to it, but it's also like they're losing kickoffs and they don't really want to lose the kickoff. They want to try to modify it because it is an exciting play.
I am with him 100% in that we watch all these other sports where people are killing each other, but the NFL, we're dialing it way back.
I mean, and Boomer even mentioned like 4 or 5 other things that have severely changed from practices and all of these things, 2-a-day. I mean, it just every year keeps chipping away. And some of that stuff I don't pay attention to as much because I didn't think it really applied to the field and our viewing experience if guys aren't doing 2-a-days. I mean, I think this was a more extreme rule change by 10 times than the ghost runner on second base in baseball. So people talked about that being the most dramatic rule change.
Yeah.
Of their lifetime. To me, this blew that one out of the water.
Yeah, it's weird looking. I agree. Now, will we get used to it? Probably.
Yeah,
but I don't know that we'll like it.
Right. And maybe it's a one-year thing. I mean, they had that disaster with the reviewing of the pass interference penalties, and they got rid of that in
that's
a year.
True.
Maybe that's what happens here.
Anyhow, the Bears did beat the Texans 21-17 in a game that was stopped in the third quarter because of bad weather in the area. Brett Rippon threw for 3 touchdowns. Here was Matt Eberflus on the kickoff.
I said kickoff team wins today, right? I mean, they had the ball the 20 a couple times, maybe 26 a couple times. You know, so it was good by the cover teams.
Yeah, well, because the guy ain't run anywhere.
Yeah.
I know he's got an opportunity if you get a seal block somewhere, but for the most part, it's hard to go anywhere.
What do you think the first coach is to just rip the hell out of this thing? Like, who's the tough guy coach that's going to be like, this is...
Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know if I can do better than that.
I don't know. I would say Jim Harbaugh.
Vrabel's not around anymore. No, maybe John, too. John Harbaugh, because he was a special teams guy. Maybe he hates it.
Maybe.
I think he probably loves it because it gives him another opportunity to come up with some sort of strategy. That's what I think. I mean, you'd have to think, you know, maybe Mike McDaniel will rip into it.
No, God, he's the last one to rip into it. He's going to love it.
No, I think he rips into it.
Really?
No.
All right, Jerry, what else?
Here was Rippon, 3 touchdown passes when given the opportunity. He's now the old man in the room.
It's weird being the oldest guy in the room.
Okay.
After being with 2 How about that? Long year veteran.
Not boring. So no Caleb Williams, no first teamers for Chicago. That's okay. Adam Schein on Sirius. Lots of confidence in this Caleb Williams. So much so.
Tonight is the beginning of the march to the Super Bowl. Not this season, but over this rookie contract. I believe firmly Caleb Williams is going to lead the Chicago Bears to the Super Bowl.
How about that?
Wow, he's on the record.
They got
there.
Their guy.
Did he ever say that about Zach Wilson when Zach Wilson was drafted?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Or I mean, Sam Darnold.
I certainly did not. I did not like
Zach from the get-go. I'll give you that much.
Yeah.
Very good question. Jets, by the way, play the Commanders next Saturday. Next Thursday, the Giants open with the Lions. Owner John Mara with the media yesterday, feeling pretty good about his duo and Shane and Dable.
And they seem to be always on the same page. And when there's any kind of disagreement, they talk it out. And they're able to have that kind of communication.
And so the one question you always get for the owner of really any team this time of year, expectations. What is he hoping and looking for?
I have a lot of confidence in this particular team. The communication is great. And I think we've added some good pieces now. It's time to show.
Isn't it amazing how his voice doesn't cut through all the ambient noise?
I know. I mean, it sounds like you're talking to him in one of those public bathrooms at a baseball game, and he's in the stall. That's what it sounds like. It's almost like holding the mic up in the air.
While with the 49ers, when Willie Snead tweeted that Tua was soft during a playoff game in Kansas City, well, he's now on the Dolphins, and he says, we're good.
Yeah, to be honest, like, I was watching the game, a fan of the game, and I was rooting for the Dolphins that game. You know, I wanted the Dolphins to get past the Chiefs, and, you know, I was emotional about it, and I tweeted something I probably shouldn't have, and I regret it today. But me and Tua talked last night, you know, working on a handshake, and we already completed one pass.
So all good. Big connection there between the two of them.
I mean, okay. The social media is dangerous, right?
Oh, of course.
God, my.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that?
But how about the Dolphins going out and getting the guy? You know, I mean, what does that say?
Business.
Yeah, I mean, but also, like, maybe they agree with him.
No, they don't agree with him. They got him paid.
Well, that's they had true. No choice.
That is true.
And that's the same thing with the Dak. I mean, what Cowboys have a really good team, by the way.
I agree.
They have a really good young team. They, you know, they've drafted well.
Yes, they have.
They've drafted so well that a lot of their young players have become some of the best players at their position.
That want to get paid now.
Right. And when you look at Dak Prescott, think about this for a second. Last year, I think he was second in MVP voting.
Sounds about right. Yep.
He had his best season ever as a Dallas Cowboy quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
What's the alternative for Dallas?
They don't have one. It ain't Trey Lance, I can tell you that.
No, it's not even remotely close. They have to pay him. Now, if I'm Dak and I... What I would do if I were him, if you can get it done with the Cowboys, is, all right, look, I don't need $60 million a year. All right, but I want a certain percentage of the salary cap. So if the salary cap goes up, my salary will go up. That way I'll allow you to, you know, have some money to spend on some other players. I
maybe
think that's probably what's going on.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe those are the negotiations they're having.
But here's the thing with Dak. You got to remember, he did not have a first-round draft pick.
He wasn't, right?
Yeah, he wasn't a first-round draft pick. So he didn't make any money the first couple, 3 years that he played.
No, but he's coming off a pretty damn good contract right now.
Yeah, but it took him, you know, like a guy like Jordan Love had guaranteed money because he was a first-round draft pick. And it was big money compared to what Dak was making.
Understood. So Dak also would have never been given the opportunity if Tony Romo doesn't break his back.
I know, but that happens. Things like that happen, and that it's not his fault that Tony got hurt.
No, but he got paid what he should have been gotten paid for where he was drafted. He was better than that, and he was rewarded handsomely for it.
And he had his best season ever as the Dallas Cowboy quarterback, and that's why they have to pay him. They have to.
I think they will.
And because they're going to be, they will be a very competitive team this year. They're not going to have a top 10 draft pick.
You got to sign Dak.
You got to sign Dak. Exactly.
Justin, you know, you're familiar with this injury. Justin Herbert diagnosed with a plantar fascia injury.
Yeah.
Right foot.
So the question is it torn totally, or is it just stretched and torn, maybe just a small piece of it? But normally, this is a 4 to 6 week injury. They're saying he's going to be back for week one. The problem, anytime you have a lower leg injury, whether it's a calf pull, plantar fasciitis, what is the next thing you have to think about protecting when you are an athlete? And we see it in the NBA all the time now.
Your Achilles?
That's exactly right. And you do not want to rush a guy back if his foot is not 100%, because the next thing you know, you're putting undue pressure on your Achilles.
Tonight at the stadium, the Yankees open up a weekend series with the Blue Jays. The Yankees wake up this morning atop the AL East, tied with Baltimore because the Orioles went to Cleveland.
Now the 3-1 to Naylor. A swing and a drive! Deep right field! Away back! Gone! A 3-run majestic bomb to right by Bo Naylor.
And that was Guardians Radio, 10-3, the final score as Cleveland beat Baltimore. So both teams now 65-45. You got Marcus Stroman and Kevin Gausman going tonight at the stadium. Meantime, the Mets are in Anaheim, take on the Angels, start of a 10-game road trip. As we know, Paul Blackburn will make his Met debut. So with Oakland this year, he was 4-2, ERA of 4.41.
You can feel the energy in the air for the Paul Blackburn debut, can't you? It's almost like, sort of like the Matt Harvey, you know, it's like one of those. It's
impact arm.
It's palpable.
You're going to stay up tonight to watch it?
I remember when I handed my keys over to the guy in the garage. He was like, Blackburn Day. I was like, yeah, I know, man. Can't wait.
Not quite the same.
No.
Now, one guy we know that will be driving to North or South Carolina and will either listen to it or do voice notes about it inning by inning is Evan Roberts. Yesterday on the Evan and Tiki show, they had the great Pat LaFrieda on. You know, all the
Burgers. Foods. Yeah, the burgers.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Sean Morash has been one to partake in a burger, enjoys it quite a bit, makes it known that he likes it. And Evan actually asked Pat about that, and Pat had an odd response.
Does it make you uncomfortable when people like Sean moan in such a way when they're eating your sandwiches? Or is it like, it means I did a good job, or is it uncomfortable? Because Sean makes me feel uncomfortable when he moans talking about that food.
I don't know. I've never had the experience of another man moaning to me while I was eating my meat.
Wow. He's never met Sean.
Was he that sharp to come up with that, like,
I
double entendre? Or was he?
I guess so.
I was just step into that one.
I was at baseball practice and my phone's ringing. I'm like, what is this? It's Ackerman. I'm like, all right, I'll call him back. And then he left me the message. He goes, you got to hear this Pat LaFrieda. I'm like, what? And then
that is great.
It was.
That is great.
Man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Where did they come up with putting him on?
I don't know. I have no idea how that happened. Not sure, but pretty funny.
They probably were talking about the food in the box. Listen.
Yeah, okay, we talk about food all the time. We don't put on Mr. Purdue when we talk about chicken.
You saw our kids go wild in the box, didn't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know.
We had the burgers, we had everything there.
Yeah.
Right. But then to put Pat LaFrieda on,
it's a little bit of a stretch, but all good.
Katie Ledecky, we talked about her yesterday. Again, today she won the silver in the 4x200-meter relay, her 13th career Olympic medal. Simone Biles won gold in the all-around competition. The women's basketball team beat Belarus 87-74, and the U.S. got its first team fencing gold in women's foil.
Women's foil?
Yeah, I just copied and pasted that.
Okay. Well, that's big. Groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking is right.
Love that. All right, thank you, Jerry. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on this Feel Good Summer Friday.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. In perusing social media this morning, I saw something that was very interesting I wanted to bring up to you. So our pal Jordan Davis, who really got his biggest break when it was with us at
with the boat party. Yeah.
I mean, really, no one had any idea who the man was, and we almost said no. He was such a small deal back then. They said, we can't get you Luke Bryan. We'll get you this guy, Jordan Davis. He's just starting out. He's a young guy. I was like, I don't know, man. Like, we're too big of a show for someone like this. I mean, and you said something along the lines of, like, we're not here to be a catalyst for some guy's career. Like we're too big for that. I remember saying these things.
Yeah.
And there he was. And he was great. And he really couldn't have done better. And ever since then, the world got to know him on CBS Sports Network and WFAN. And he has launched an amazing career to the point that he's a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Taylor Swift, so let's relax.
He's not. No, nobody is, really.
No, I know, but
He's won two CMA Song of the Years. And yeah. He's done a really nice job. He's headlining tours. He's also opening up for Luke Combs. I mean, he's just having a huge career. So he had one of his headlining shows in Indianapolis last night. He brought out one of the sports world's biggest names in 2024 to sing By Dirt with him. Who do you think that was in Indianapolis last night?
So one of the biggest athletes of 2024?
Mm-hmm.
To sing By Dirt.
Yep.
One of the biggest athletes in 2024 to sing.
Anybody want to guess? Indianapolis, biggest athletes of 2024?
I mean, Indy leads you only to one name, Caitlin Clark.
Bang! Caitlin Clark and Jordan Davis out there singing By Dirt. And another one of her teammates was out there too, but nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
It was just all about Caitlin Clark.
Okay. Wow, well, I was thinking... Wasn't Anthony Richardson?
it was really cool to see, and I actually knew that he found out that she was coming to that show on the night that I was up in Connecticut hanging out backstage before his show in Bridgeport. He's like, really? He's like, that's so cool. And then she was there and got her on stage and sang.
Smart, so. Very smart.
Yeah, and then also I saw he was on with Pat McAfee yesterday. Pat McAfee put him on.
Oh, there you go. Look at what we've done for. We've launched a career.
We really have launched a career.
Yes.
We don't get enough thank yous from him. I mean, I really.
I know you've gone to a couple of his shows, and I really feel like you and he have struck up a very close friendship. And
yes.
It goes back to the point where when I first tried to FaceTime him off of your phone, and then he called back, and then you get all excited
about
it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep. Very excited.
And now it's almost like you feel as if he owes you something. That's the feeling that I'm getting here.
Yeah. I think you're reading that right.
I mean,
yeah,
look at our hair in that picture.
Well, it was blowing like crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're reading that right now.
Okay.
I think that we don't get... I mean, he basically used us as a trampoline. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, he did.
And, we don't get the credit we deserve when it comes to his career. Now, obviously, we're being facetious here. I love Jordan. He's great. But he's out there doing his thing. So good for him and Caitlin Clark and Indianapolis and Luke Combs and everything else.
You know, nice thing for Caitlin Clark, she finally gets a break.
Yeah, I mean,
she said, I'd love to see her in the Olympics, and I think she probably deserves to be on that Olympic team, given especially the way she's played like her last 10 games. But the fact is, she hasn't really had a break since... When? Last August?
True.
She's been going straight through for a year.
No, she has. I mean, I think everybody would have liked to see her in the Olympics, and we'd be paying attention to that team a hell of a lot more if she was on there. But
Same thing for Angel Reese or any of those girls that were drafted as rookies into the WNBA. They really have no downtime from their college experience to their pro experience because it goes right into it.
And speaking of world-famous women, Danielle McCartan left us a gift here.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, so Danielle McCartan, the week started with a giant mess underneath the plexiglass here, and it was starting to fester and stink, and we had a deep clean. We cleaned it ourselves at first, and then there was a deep clean after that, and I wondered who spilled something through the hole that got underneath the plexiglass and then just left it there and didn't tell anybody. So we went through all the weekend hosts, and we said, all right, who is it? We ruled out Anne Ligorie and Danielle McCartan right away because they're too classy to do something
like
that. Well,
they're two women, and you know they're not slobs like the rest of the people around here.
Exactly. So
turned out that she is a slob.
Right. So it ended up being Danielle McCartan, and she taped up the hole over here. So if she spills
something else,
it'll not go down there. She also said that she's got a she's got lids now that she's using for her drinks. She never used to use lids. And she also got
She is kind of overreacting. I mean, you know.
Well, just, hey.
I mean, she spilled one thing.
Not in my book. Not in my book. Do not make that mistake again.
Okay.
There's no such thing as overreacting. You saw that mess.
It was,
you kidding me?
I'm still feeling the effects of it.
I mean.
You know, like, you know, like if you were living within, I don't know, like 100 miles of Chernobyl, you'd actually have some crap going on.
Yeah, you probably have a tail. Yeah.
Exactly. So I kind of feel like that. That we were involved and this was in our atmosphere and in our environment. And I felt like, man, that's bad.
Yeah, really bad. So she, to me, she's not overreacting. She's doing exactly what she should. And we asked, remember those things you said?
The diffuser.
Yeah.
She'll show up the diffuser.
She left the diffuser. I can't get the plastic off there.
Right, let me have it. Let me have it.
Yeah, you got use your man hands to get that plastic.
There is nothing worse than the way these things are.
She also, I mean, she stuffed a giant cardboard box that she didn't break down into the garbage pail here, basically rendering it useless. So we still got to work on a couple things with Danielle. But
what do you think? I mean, you think she's a little messy, like, you know, at home?
I don't know a lot about her personal life, but based on this.
Like, I remember growing up with my daughter. Okay, her room was such a mess. Crap laying all over the place. I'm like, how can anybody live in that?
Yeah.
Kind of like your office.
My office, yeah.
Did you get that straightened out, by the way?
I did. Me and Martin Travers had a whole interior design consultation yesterday after the show.
That's good.
See, I told you it's tough to get that plastic off, right? Here's these scissors. I went to the mouth, too. So now we're swapping spit.
That's right. We work together.
It is fine.
Man, this thing is like...
I know, it's impossible. All you want to do is get a diffuser going in the studio.
There
you
we
can't.
Go. I got it. Oh, I got it.
All right,
got
nice. Good. Do you stick all of them in there at the same time?
Yeah, is there a container or is this the actual container?
That's the container.
I very rarely ever see like a see-through container.
See-through diffuser?
Yeah.
You got it?
I thought I did.
You need the sticks?
Give me the sticks in a second. Just
Jesus, man.
Got it.
Oh, I heard that.
Whoop.
Whoop.
It's a very perfumey smell.
All right.
Like, you know, I usually like a nice vanilla.
You don't like a perfumey smell when it comes to your diffusers?
Let me have the sticks.
All right. Sticks are going in there.
You put the sticks in here, right?
Yep.
You let them soak up the juice.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn them over.
Oh, you turn them over?
Yeah.
That's how you do it?
Well, you got to get the stink in there.
Okay, I got you. All right.
And, you know, then when these dry out, you do it again, and then you turn them over again.
All right, so you asked for a diffuser?
We got a diffuser.
We got a diffuser.
We got a diffuser.
Oh, yeah, that's very...
That smell good?
It's citrusy. It's Italian citrus.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Lemon Italian citrus, which I'm going to, by the way, in a couple of days, I'm getting a lemon from God, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
That's what a woman said yesterday.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. In perusing social media this morning, I saw something that was very interesting I wanted to bring up to you. So our pal Jordan Davis, who really got his biggest break when it was with us at
the boat party. Yeah.
I mean, really, no one had any idea who the man was, and we almost said no. He was such a small deal back then. They said, we can't get you Luke Bryan. We'll get you this guy, Jordan Davis. He's just starting out. He's a young guy. I was like, I don't know, man. Like, we're too big of a show for someone like this. I mean, and you said something along the lines of, like, we're not here to be a catalyst for some guy's career. Like we're too big for that. I remember saying these things.
Yeah.
And there he was. And he was great. And he really couldn't have done better. And ever since then, the world got to know him on CBS Sports Network and WFAN, and he has launched an amazing career to the point that he's a superstar.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Taylor Swift, so let's relax.
He's not. No, nobody is, really.
No, I know, but
he's won two CMA Song of the Years, and he's done a really nice job. He's headlining tours. He's also opening up for Luke Combs. I mean, he's just having a huge career. So he had one of his headlining shows in Indianapolis last night. He brought out one of the sports world's biggest names in 2024 to sing By Dirt with him. Who do you think that was? In Indianapolis last night.
So one of the biggest athletes of 2024?
Mm-hmm.
To sing By Dirt.
Yep.
One of the biggest athletes in 2024 to sing.
Anybody want to guess? Indianapolis, biggest athletes of 2024?
I mean, Indy leads you only to one name, Caitlin Clark.
Bang! Caitlin Clark and Jordan Davis out there singing By Dirt. And another one of her teammates was out there too, but nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
It was just all about Caitlin Clark.
Okay. Wow, I was thinking, wasn't Anthony Richardson?
it was really cool to see. And I actually knew that he found out that she was coming to that show the night that I was up in Connecticut hanging out backstage before his show in Bridgeport. He's like, really? He's like, that's so cool. And then she was there and got her on stage and sang.
Smart. So. Very smart.
Yeah. And then also, I saw he was on with Pat McAfee yesterday. Pat McAfee put him on.
Oh, there you go. Look at what we've done for. We've launched a career.
We really have launched a career.
Yes.
We don't get enough thank yous from him. I mean, I really.
I know you've gone to a couple of his shows, and I really feel like you and he have struck up a very close friendship. And
yes.
It goes back to the point where when I first tried to FaceTime him off of your phone, and then he called back, and then you get all excited
That's
about
right.
it.
That's mm-hmm. right. Yep, very yeah. excited.
And now it's almost like you feel as if he owes you something. That's the feeling that I'm getting here.
Yeah. I think you're reading that right.
I mean,
yeah,
look at our hair in that picture.
Well, it was blowing like crazy.
Yeah.
I think you're reading that right now.
Okay.
I think that we don't get, I mean, he basically used us as a trampoline. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, he did.
And, we don't get the credit we deserve when it comes to his career. Now, obviously, we're being facetious here. I love Jordan. He's great. But he's out there doing his thing. So good for him and Caitlin Clark and Indianapolis and Luke Combs and everything else.
You know, nice thing for Caitlin Clark, she finally gets a break.
Yeah, I mean,
she said, I'd love to see her in the Olympics, and I think she probably deserves to be on that Olympic team, given especially the way she's played like her last 10 games. But the fact is, she hasn't really had a break since when? Last August?
True.
She's been going straight through for a year.
No, she has. I mean, I think everybody would have liked to see her in the Olympics, and we'd be paying attention to that team a hell of a lot more if she was on there. But
Same thing for Angel Reese or any of those girls that were drafted as rookies into the WNBA. They really have no downtime from their college experience to their pro experience because it goes right into it.
And speaking of world-famous women, Danielle McCartan left us a gift here.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, so Danielle McCartan, the week started with a giant mess underneath the plexiglass here, and it was starting to fester and stink, and we had a deep clean. We cleaned it ourselves at first, and then there was a deep clean after that, and I wondered who spilled something through the hole that got underneath the plexiglass and then just left it there and didn't tell anybody. So we went through all the weekend hosts, and we said, all right, who is it? We ruled out Anne Ligorie and Danielle McCartan right away because they're too classy to do something
like
that.
They're two women, and you know they're not slobs like the rest of the people around here.
Exactly. So
turned out that she is a slob.
Right. So it ended up being, Danielle McCartan, and she taped up the hole over here. So if she spills
something else,
it'll not go down there. She also said that she's got she's got lids now that she's using for her drinks. She never used to use lids. And she also got
She is kind of overreacting. I mean, you know. She spilled
one thing. Not in my book. Not in my book. Do not make that mistake again.
Okay.
There's no such thing as overreacting. You saw that mess.
I'm still feeling the effects of it.
I mean,
you know, like if you were living within, I don't know, like 100 miles of Chernobyl, you'd actually have some crap going on.
Yeah, you probably have a tail. Yeah.
Exactly. So I kind of feel like that. That we were involved and this was in our atmosphere and in our environment. And I felt like, man, that's bad.
Yeah, really bad. So she's not overreacting. She's doing exactly what she should. And remember those things you said?
The diffuser.
Yeah.
She'll show up the diffuser.
She left the diffuser. I can't get the plastic off there.
Let me have it.
Yeah, you got to use your man hands to get that plastic.
There is nothing worse than the way these things are.
She stuffed a giant cardboard box that she didn't break down into the garbage pail here, basically rendering it useless. So we still got to work on a couple things with Danielle. But
what do you think? I mean, you think she's a little messy, like, you know, at home? You know,
I mean, I don't know a lot about her personal life, but based on this.
Like, I remember growing up with my daughter, okay? Her room was such a mess. Crap laying all over the place. I'm like, how can anybody live in that?
Yeah.
You know, like your office.
My office, yeah.
Did you get that straightened out, by the way?
I did. Me and Martin Travers had a whole interior design consultation.
You did.
Yesterday after the show.
That's good.
See, I told you it's tough to get that plastic off, right? Here's these scissors. I went to the mouth, too. So now we're swapping spit.
That's right. We work together.
It is fine.
And this thing is like...
I know, it's impossible. All you want to do is get a diffuser going in the studio.
There
you
we go. I got it.
Nice, good. Do you stick all of them in there at the same time?
Yeah, is there a container or is this the actual container?
That's the container.
I very rarely ever see like a see-through container.
See-through diffuser?
Yeah.
You got it?
I thought I did.
You need the sticks?
Give me the sticks in a second. Just
Jesus, man.
Got it.
I heard that.
Whoop.
Whoop.
It's a very perfumey smell.
All right.
Like, you know, I usually like a nice vanilla.
You don't like a perfumey smell when it comes to your diffusers?
Let me have the sticks.
All right. Sticks are going in there.
So you put the sticks in here, right?
Yep.
You let them soak up the juice.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn them over.
Oh, you turn them over?
Yeah.
That's how you do it?
Well, you got to get the stink in there.
Okay, I got you. All right.
And, you know, then when these dry out, you do it again, and then you turn them over again.
All right, so... You asked for a diffuser?
We got a diffuser.
We got a diffuser.
We got a diffuser.
Oh, yeah, that's very...
That smell good?
It's citrusy. It's Italian citrus.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Lemon Italian citrus, which I'm going to, by the way, in a couple of days, I'm getting a lemon from God, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
That's what a woman said yesterday.